welcome to the Dog Talk Show. My name is Julie Forbes. It's a beautiful day to have a first show. I have a beautiful view of Seattle right now. So this is a show, if you have ever loved a dog, you are in the right place. This is our first show today, and I'm thrilled to have the opportunity to educate Seattle and beyond dog owners about some pressing, more serious issues like the one we're talking about today, and then to also talk about some fun stuff going on. There's plenty of it. One thing that I was thinking was like the documentary I saw called Wiener Takes All, about a wiener dog racing documentary, which was pretty awesome. So I'm going to hope to have the director of that film on at some point in the future. So just want to give you a little bit of information about myself. I am a dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist here in Seattle. I own the company Sensitive Dog. Website's www.sensitivedog.com. And I've been doing this for about 6 years now. And I am originally from New England. I grew up in Massachusetts and went to school in Vermont at the University of Vermont. I have a degree in animal science. It was a wonderful school to go to. Actually see a lot of similarities between Seattle and Burlington, so we'll send a shout out to Vermont right now. Today is a special day. In addition to the first show, it's my girlfriend Darcy's birthday and my dachshund Leia's birthday, all today. So happy birthday to you two. Leia is 6 and Darcy is 29. So let's see. Today I've got a guest that we're going to talk to in a little bit. His name is Dan Paul, and he is the Washington State Director of the Humane Society of the United States. And we're going to talk to him in a little bit about the puppy mill busts that have happened recently locally, and talk a little bit about what puppy mills are and how we can not support them, because it's a pretty cruel existence for the animals who are living in those mills. And it's something that a lot of people just aren't aware of, the connection between pet stores and puppy mills. And so we'll have an opportunity to talk with him about that and open up the lines to take some calls if any of you have questions for him. He's available to take your calls. So as I said, the intention for the show is to be a resource for people with dogs, and really excited to talk about especially some of my favorite topics. Nutrition is a big one. The pet food industry is pretty tricky, and most of the foods on the market actually are not good for your dog, and that pertains to cats as well, for those of you who have cats. So we're going to talk much more in depth about that, and to make sure that you are making educated and healthy choices for your pets. They're pretty good at advertising, and everyone says that their food is healthy for your pet, but it's definitely not necessarily true. And so we're going to go after those foods. And puppy mills is another big one for me. I don't understand why the shelters are overflowing with dogs and thousands of dogs get put down every day, and yet we have these factories locally and especially concentrated in the Midwest that just churn out puppies by the thousands. So we have overflowing shelters due to overpopulation, and yet we have this industry that's mass producing unhealthy dogs, poor genetic makeup, often have major health issues and behavioral issues, in addition to the fact that the dogs that are breeding these puppies are kept in unacceptable conditions. So really happy again to have Dan on as a guest to talk a little bit more about that and bring some awareness to help stop this, because what we need to do is really stop the demand, the consumer demand for these puppies, because why it's in business is because it makes a lot of money. So we need to not support that. I'll definitely be talking about behavior and training. There's lots of different ways to train a dog and lots of different philosophies around that. A lot of agreement and a lot of disagreement as far as positive reinforcement versus correction. And there's people sort of lie all over the scale on that. So we'll talk about that and talk about some pretty common behavioral things and try to help you out to get you going in the right direction with your dogs, and also in future shows have the ability to you know, call in and ask me questions about your dog's specific behavior. So I really look forward to talking to you about that as well. So let's see. Tell you a little bit about my two dogs. I have a 11-year-old German Shepherd mix. His name is Chewy, like Chewbacca, because he used to make that noise when he was a puppy. And then Leia, my little dachshund, sticking with the Star Wars theme. She's 6. Her birthday's today, as I mentioned. I have a degree in animal science from the University of Vermont, and I did, after I moved out to Seattle, which was about 7 years ago, found an apprentice program through the Academy of Canine Behavior up in Bothell, and did the apprentice, went through their apprenticeship and then got hired on as a full-time trainer there and worked for them for 3 years. And it was a really great place to get a lot of exposure with a ton of different breeds. I just went there and worked a lot of dogs every day and got to really experience different types of breeds, different types of behaviors, and some pretty intense behavioral issues like aggression and anxiety and stuff like that. So it was a really, really great place to get my start, and I'm certainly drawing on that now as I am just working with individual families in Seattle. And I own the company Sensitive Dog, and I've been doing that for about 3.5 years on my own, doing mostly in-home training. And I do teach group classes and in-home training and evaluations, both for behavior and food related. And I have a 2-week intensive training program as well that happens either in your home or at a daycare and boarding facility called the Barking Lounge, which is in South Lake Union, downtown Seattle. So that website is www.sensitivedog.com if you want to check that out for a little more information about my personal philosophy and my services. And I'd like to take just a little bit of time to acknowledge my sponsors that I have lined up so far. These are some exceptional companies in the Seattle area. Part of what I'd like to do with this show is to, as I said, be a resource for dog owners. And one way in doing that is to let you know of the best products and services that are available to you. So the first sponsor is a store called Urban Beast, and it is downtown right across from the REI flagship store. You really can't miss it. And they have a lot of locally made products and treats and really healthy pet food that I've worked with the owner to choose. So that's a great place to go for any food items or treats that you know are healthy for your pet. And a lot of really cool, well-designed and affordable products, food bowls, leashes, you name it, and they've got it. And I'm actually quite impressed with the number of locally made products there are in the city. People are just really putting out a lot of really cool pet products. So check out Urban Beast, right across from REI downtown. One of my favorite dry foods, also known as kibble on the market, is a food called Origin. And it's a grain-free pet food, which is really important because grain is, dogs are not really designed to eat grain, and a lot of foods are mostly grain. So this is a grain-free food. And they have another version of their food called Acana, which is spelled A-C-A-N-A. And those are two of my favorite dry foods on the market, and I've been really pleased with not only the list of ingredients, but how those foods have performed, meaning the dogs seem to really like it, and it digests well, we'll say. So that's a great food. And then there's a boarding and daycare facility also in South Lake Union called the Barking Lounge, which is on the corner of Dexter and Republican in South Lake Union neighborhood. The Barking Lounge is probably the cleanest daycare and boarding facility that I've seen. Really, really well run. I know the staff and have worked with them quite a bit, and they're great. So the website there is www.barkinglounge.com, and go check them out. For listeners, they're kind enough to offer you guys some promotional incentives. So if you mention that you've heard about them on the Dog Talk Show at the Barking Lounge, you get a free temperament test and day of daycare. And Urban Beast is offering 10% off for of the total purchase for the Dog Talk Show listeners. And you can find Origin and Acana Foods at both the Barking Lounge and at Urban Beast. So we're going to run a couple commercials here, but when we come back, we will talk to Dan Paul with the Humane Society of the United States. So I'll look forward to coming back in just a few minutes.
Urban Beast. Fresh, modern, fun. Seattle's destination for all your pet needs. Located in the South Lake Union neighborhood at 217 Yale Avenue North, directly across from the REI flagship store. Urban Beast features unique accessories such as toys, beds, collars, leashes, and more. They have a great assortment of healthy food and yummy treats for the pets you love. Open 7 days a week and offering free parking in the Alley 24 garage. Come see what the Beast is all about.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a 2-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
The Barking Lounge is Seattle's premier dog daycare and overnight boarding facility. With 24-hour supervision dedicated to the health and well-being of your pooch, it's no wonder why the Barking Lounge was voted best doggy daycare in Western Washington. New customers can mention this ad and receive a free temperament test and day of play care, a $44 value. Offer available for a limited time, valid for new customers only, and has no cash value.
I'm Joy Turner, host of Talk With Your Animals, the show that lets you talk with your animals Wednesdays from noon to 1 p.m. We take your calls and ask your animal companions the things you most want to know from them. Talk about anything, even talk with deceased animals. If you love your animals and want to hear the wonderful and very often surprising things animals say, be sure to listen to Talk With Your Animals Wednesdays at noon, the show both you and your pets are going to love. Talk With Your Animals with me, Joy Turner.
Don't touch that dial. You might miss something life-changing. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hi, welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. This is Julie Forbes. And today we have a guest. His name is Dan Paul, and he is the Washington State Director of the Humane Society of the United States. And he's on... Hi, Dan.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So... we are going to talk about puppy mills today and shed some light on the issue a little bit locally and also on a national level. And I have a lot of questions for you, Dan, for sure. And if you listeners would like to call in and ask Dan any questions around puppy mills, feel free to call in. And those phone numbers are 425-373-5527. Or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. So feel free to give a call in to ask Dan a question. So, Dan, can you tell us just a little bit about your position with the Humane Society of the United States?
Yeah, definitely. The Humane Society of the United States is the world's largest animal protection organization. We have over 10.5 million Americans that are members, which is essentially one out of every 30. So it's an extremely large organization. And in our state of Washington, we have over 225,000 members. And so my job within the organization is to sort of serve as a liaison to the state. We have a lot of specific issues that go on throughout the 50 states. And so this way we can have a sort of a direct action person in each state.
Mm-hmm.
We work with the state legislature as well, so we try to do public policy to help animals. We do disaster or emergency management relief, and you know, a whole host of other things, including networking with other organizations out there to help animals.
So how is your, is there a distinction between the Humane Society of the United States and, like, the Humane Society of Seattle? Is that part of the part of a greater organization?
That's a great question. We get that all the time. Our organization was actually founded in Washington, D.C. In the 1950s, I think 1954, to focus on larger scale issues than a local humane society or shelter could handle. So we are not affiliated directly with any, you know, humane society, let's say of King County or Seattle. But we do a lot of support for those organizations, but no, we're definitely an independent organization.
Okay. So is humane society kind of like an umbrella term?
You know, it's become not... that. When we started, it wasn't, but it's sort of become that term over the last 50 years.
Okay. Okay. So, can you tell us a little bit about puppy mills? I think probably there's some listeners who don't or aren't clear about what actually is a puppy mill.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's sort of, that makes sense because there is really no one definition of what a puppy mill is. Mm-hmm. It's, how we see it, it's a commercial breeding facility, one that mass produces dogs, for sale to either pet stores or to the general public, directly to the public. But most, what makes them sort of a mill and not just a breeding facility or your neighbor that's, you know, breeding an occasional puppy or two, is that these places often house these animals in filthy, overcrowded, and inhumane conditions with, you know, usually inadequate shelter and care, direct care, medical care, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that's really what a puppy mill is. It's a very open-ended definition, but
yeah,
you'll know it when you see one.
Yeah, and it's tricky because, typically, where would you get a pet that was sold from a puppy mill? I know that pet stores, you know, a pet store in a mall or something like that is a pretty, pretty good chance, if not definitely a chance, that the dog is from a puppy mill.
Right, there's a chance. Oftentimes we see these the biggest problems coming with breeders that are selling their dogs directly to the public, so via the internet, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, Craigslist is an excellent bet that you're going to find, you know, puppy mill dogs.
Mm-hmm.
At swap meets or out of the back of people's cars. So puppy mills that are selling directly to pet stores are actually licensed by the USDA, and so that doesn't preclude those facilities from being puppy, or what we would consider a puppy mill. There is a licensing mechanism for pet store sales for wholesale dogs.
Which brings us to an interesting point, which is that it's the puppy mills are actually regulated by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. So the dogs are governed under agricultural laws, meaning the conditions for the puppies and the dogs in the mills are the same as those for chickens.
That is correct. So yes, that is sort of a big discrepancy in our viewing of these dogs. As you know, some listeners may see, when the dogs are in the mills, the puppies are in the mills, they are considered livestock. So they have very few more rights than a pig in a gestation crate or a chicken in a battery cage would have. But once the transfer happens, so they're either sold on a wholesale level to the pet stores, or they're sold on the resale level to the consumers, that's when they become companion animals, and that's when the animal cruelty statutes really start kicking in.
Yeah, it's amazing to me that they don't have the rights until they are actually out of the breeding facility.
Right, and that's a little bit, you know, they do. If there's some really egregious abuse going on,
sure,
they can be, you know, charged with that. But, yeah, for the majority of these dogs, it does become when they become personal property of an owner.
Right. Yeah, and that's kind of a, you know, part of a bigger issue with just agricultural laws in general and the treatment of those types of animals.
Absolutely.
So what are some things to look for people so that if they are, you know, if they are looking to get a puppy, what are some red flags? How can they really make sure that they avoid getting a dog? I always, you know, sort of raise my eyebrow when someone tells me that their dog was shipped from mm-hmm. Iowa or something right. like that, because it's like, hmm.
Right.
How can people avoid that?
Well, it's really the onus is on the consumer, and so what we would recommend to people is to not buy dogs from pet stores.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the biggest culprits in continuing with these puppy mills or allowing these puppy mills to continue. So if you are going to buy a dog, we first and foremost will always push you to go to a shelter. Mm-hmm. There's wonderful animals to be found there. In fact, I'm sitting next to my 5-year-old golden retriever, Sam, who I got from a shelter in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
So I can firsthand tell you that it's great. But beyond that, there are breed rescues for every breed out there.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, going back to shelters, nearly a quarter of the dogs in shelters are purebred dogs. So, mm-hmm. you know, you're not going to always, you know, be finding a mutt. You can find, if unless that's what you're looking for, because mutts are fantastic too. But mm-hmm. if you're looking for a designer breed, for example, they're showing up more in the shelters. And then, yeah, there's breed rescues for every single breed out there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do have your heart set on a puppy, we just ask you to please go out, visit the breeding facility, visit the family that's offering them, ask to see the mother and the father, see where the animals were raised. Don't trust internet sites. They can have all the pretty pictures and they can tell you all the right things online, but you really, as a responsible consumer, it's the ball is in your court. You need to go visit these facilities.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, a lot of them I know market themselves as family establishments, and I think that people think that, that must mean it's a house with, you know, a little litter of puppies running around in the living room. But actually, the two of the puppy mills, I think, in the Seattle Times January 24th edition, they were talking about the two puppy mills, and I think a mother owned one of them, and then the next one that was busted was her daughter.
Mm-hmm,
so I guess technically that is a family establishment.
Technically it is. That's right.
These dogs are just, it was like 600 dogs or something like that, rescued?
That's what I heard, yeah.
From two different locations.
Right.
And these dogs are, you know, kept without food and water, having to live in their own feces, and I think there were even some dogs that were deceased that were just kind of lying around.
Yeah, I heard that. I mean, again, I only know what you know through the media. I have no more inside information, but mm-hmm. I did read that dogs were kept in the freezer, for example. So it was pretty horrific. And that has to do not only with extremely irresponsible breeding, and I don't think we can, you know, claim that everyone is going to be raising their dogs like that, but also the scale that they are operating in. It is impossible to feed 600 dogs. So, you know, they may not have been denied food and water. They may just have been, you know, unable to actually provide that for them.
Yeah. Well, I think they said 80% of the dogs were actually pregnant.
You know, that's what I heard, too, and I don't know if that report is accurate. That was my impression, too, but I've heard from other sources that it is a lower number. But even so, that the potentiality for that to happen, what is there? And, again, I don't know all the there's conflicting reports on that.
Yeah. So I think I had talked a little bit about this with you before. Any link to mental illness and people who run puppy mills? Because I would have to be, I mean, I would imagine someone would have to be out of their mind literally to, you know, house that kind of a facility and to actually live among that and
right.
somehow, you know. So do you know anything? Can you tell us something about that?
Yeah, it would be a broad generalization to assert that, you know, to run a mill or to run a mass breeding facility, you are mentally ill. But, yeah, there are definitely hoarding tendencies that you see in these situations. And also, sometimes breeders might keep too many dogs, and all of a sudden that blossoms into having way too many dogs that they can take care of. So I don't know if I could directly, unequivocally say it's always a mental health issue, but certainly, you know, there's tendencies there that we see in other issues,
mm-hmm.
Animal hoarding issues.
Okay. So puppy mills are legal, but they're regulated under agricultural laws, which are not that great.
That is correct. Puppy mills are legal in the United States.
Okay.
And this is probably a good time to sort of interject with what we're trying to do in Washington to increase the penalties to at least the regulation of these mills.
Okay. We're actually, we're coming up on a commercial break, so let's start in when we get back from break about the legislation that's up right now. And
great. So just to leave you the listeners, they are legal in the United States as of right now.
They are legal, yes. Okay. All right, we'll be right back with Dan Paul, the Washington State Director of the Humane Society of the United States.
The Barking Lounge is Seattle's premier dog daycare and overnight boarding facility. With 24-hour supervision dedicated to the health and well-being of your pooch, it's no wonder why the Barking Lounge was voted best doggy daycare in Western Washington. New customers can mention this ad and receive a free temperament test and day of play care, a $44 value. Offer available for a limited time, valid for new customers only, and has no cash value.
Hi, I'm Vicki St. Clair. I want to invite you to join me every Monday at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. We'll talk with innovative business leaders, medical and health professionals, authors, filmmakers, adventurers, and ordinary people leading extraordinary lives. Join me Mondays at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Coming up February 23rd on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, Vicki talks to author Dr. Judith Sills about her book, Getting Naked.
Check out our guest schedule at conversationslive.net and join me Mondays at noon.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Urban Beast. Fresh, modern, fun. Seattle's destination for all your pet needs. Located in the South Lake Union neighborhood at 217 Yale Avenue North, directly across from the REI flagship store. Urban Beast features unique accessories such as toys, beds, collars, leashes, and more. They have a great assortment of healthy food and yummy treats for the pets you love. Open 7 days a week and offering free parking in the Alley 24 garage. Come see what the beast is all about.
1150kknw.com. It's why they invented the internet. We think. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hello, welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes, and we've been talking with Dan Paul, the Washington State Director of the Humane Society of the United States, and we've been talking about puppy mills and what qualifies as a puppy mill versus another type of breeding facility, and basically that's the conditions that the dogs are kept in, and that they are certainly inhumane. And Dan is on the line. We're going to start talking about the legislation that is trying to get passed in Olympia. Hi, Dan. Welcome back.
Hey, Julie. Thanks.
So, yeah, could you tell us a little bit about what you're working on now as far as laws pertaining to this, I guess, both locally and nationally?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
So the USDA, as we discussed in the last segment, is the regulatory agency on a federal level that will deal with these puppy mills or these mass breeding facilities. They are only responsible for Class A dealers, which deal on the wholesale level. And what that means is that these facilities that are breeding their dogs and selling them to pet stores or selling them to research facilities, you know, so on a wholesale level, they are inspected by the USDA. Unfortunately, there's only, as of 2007, there were only about 102 employed inspectors for the entire country, which had to inspect over 4,600 licensed Class A dealers in the country. So We've asked them from the Humane Society of the United States to increase the funding for this program and to really get into these mills and to see what they are. But that being said, that is what the system is in place. So what leaves us with is the all these breeders that are selling directly to the public, so on a resale level, they are completely unregulated. Our state has had no increased regulations on our own end to go after these people. So this is the case of the folks up in Gold Bar. Mm-hmm. They don't sell to pet stores and they don't sell to research facilities. They're just selling to consumers over the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And so what our legislation would do, which is Senate Bill 5651, which has been prime sponsored by Senator Cole Wells, and it's also the companion bill is House Bill 1936, sponsored by Representative Appleton. Our bill would create a uniform standard for the state. It would cap the number of dogs in our state that a breeder can have at 25 mm-hmm. Unspayed or neutered dogs over the age of 4 months. And additionally, it would create a whole host of care requirements, such as clean food, clean water, exercise requirements, and you know, it's cage space. Very, very simple, modest things that we feel, at the very least, at the very minimum, should be going on in our state. So, the intent of the legislation is to create a uniform standard that all the counties can adopt, because there are county level restrictions in place. So King County, I think they have a 25 dog cap as well. They have some certain requirements, but let's say Lewis County doesn't have that same requirements. And so mm-hmm. you'll often see these breeders living in one county and actually having an operation in another county.
Mm.
And they'll cherry pick which counties are the loosest to start their operations under.
Mm-hmm. And so it's one thing to get the laws passed for the minimum requirements, and then it's another thing to actually have the staffing to go in and enforce them.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, the Humane Society of the United States is not a regulatory agency, so the best that we can do is to provide the framework for the state to work under.
Mm-hmm.
But this would help animal control officers and sheriff's departments by at least giving them that base point to start under.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we're also seeing, the importance of this bill, is that there, as we increase these regulations in the Midwest, and you mentioned earlier in the program that we see mega mills in the Midwest with 1,000 or 2,000 dog mills, we're increasing those regulations out there, and so that leaves a place like Washington a perfect target for these breeders to come to,
mm-hmm.
because there's a lot of counties that we have without those regulations. So
mm-hmm.
this would be both a preventative measure, and it would also be a great framework to regulate the mills that currently are in place in our state.
So what are the USDA laws as far... Did you say something, thousands of dogs they were allowed to have on in one property?
Yeah, as long as they meet some of the minimum standards of care, which are... So the USDA does not have a cap on their number of animals you can keep. So if these mills are showing that they can keep clean food and clean water and, you know, cage space, then for the most part, they're left to go on. I think you and I know that dogs deserve a lot better than that, and so
yeah.
It's very debatable whether or not those requirements are adequate.
Well, it's debatable, at the very least, as to why we need factories churning puppies out when we have shelters all over the country overflowing with dogs who don't have homes and who are being euthanized every day because of that.
That's a great point. Absolutely, there's several thousand dogs that are being euthanized on a day-to-day basis in our state. Yet we're churning out all these animals, so that's a really good point. It's a puppy mills is one aspect of this greater pet overpopulation problem that we're facing. And there's some other great bills in Olympia this year that aren't sponsored or aren't introduced by the Humane Society that mm-hmm. will deal with spay neuter as well.
Mm-hmm. It would seem that the existence of puppy mills is probably the biggest factor in overpopulation, given the and maybe I'm wrong about that, but just given the amount of dogs that they're producing?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I could rank which ones were. It really is a sort of a web of interconnected issues that, you know, they need to be attacked on several fronts. And mm-hmm. again, as a consumer, the biggest thing that we can do is to really not go to pet stores and to go to the shelters and to spay and neuter our animals.
I think something that I've heard from a lot of people who have bought dogs from pet stores, and it's surprising to me how many people are not aware, you know, the connection between pet stores and those types of establishments,
mm-hmm.
and that they think that they are you know, rescuing the cute puppy from the cage, and what they don't realize is that they are sentencing that dog's parents to essentially life in jail.
You're right. I would actually encourage all the listeners to go to our website, humanesociety.org, and look under our investigations. And we did a major investigation of Petland, which is a large dog food chain that also actually sells puppies.
I'm sure, and it's quality dog food too.
And we and they assure that their dogs are AKC certified and they're not for mills. And we did an extensive undercover investigation. We found you know, mills all over the place from where their dogs were coming from. So yeah, you'll hear a lot from people that want to sell their dogs, but they're never going to quite tell you the true story.
Yeah. What are some of the biggest hurdles that you've run into with legislation? Because it's, you know, obviously to me, it just seems like such a no-brainer.
Yeah, no, we've been lucky so far in our state. So this year, our biggest concern has been from some small-scale breeders that want to make sure that this legislation is really focused on these big mills, and we can assure them that it is. This is in no way trying to limit a hobby breeder or a mm-hmm. responsible breeder.
Mm-hmm.
But we have had some suggestions to amendments that we're considering, which would not alter the intent of the bill at all, but it might give some flexibility. Mm-hmm. So there has been some... We're introducing the same type of legislation in 29 states this year. And it's not precedent-setting. We actually passed laws, puppy mill laws, in Virginia and Louisiana last year.
Mm-hmm.
So there has been some bigger opposition in other states, but so far we are very pleased at the response here.
Mm-hmm. Have you noticed, have you had any measurable results with the states after the laws that have been passed, with a decrease in the number of dogs or the increase in the ability to shut these facilities down?
You know, I haven't. I mean, I'm sure it has. I just I don't have any firsthand knowledge of that, mm-hmm. other than it's, you know, brand new legislation, but it's definitely a great place to start, and I could only imagine that it's working out very well.
Yeah. So, let's see. So there's two bills right now that are sponsored by, that are kind of up. I wrote down the numbers, but, and those were regarding the cap.
Mm-hmm.
And then anything as far as on a national level, with the USDA, I know that you were talking about number of staff. I mean, I can't imagine 102 staff members trying to inspect, what was 4,600, did you say?
4,600. I think that comes to the mathematically, they have to basically inspect a facility every single day.
And those are all agricultural facilities, not just puppy mills?
No, those are just for puppy mills. Breeding facilities, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What do you have a sense for how many dogs are produced per day?
No, you know, I don't. I don't even want to think about that. It's got to be an astronomical number.
Yeah, I mean, just compared to the... I'd be interested to know the number of dogs produced per day compared to the number of dogs euthanized.
Yeah. I don't have that.
Okay.
Handy.
Be an interesting...
But I think we estimate these mills will pump about 2 to 4 million puppies into the marketplace each year.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's an extreme amount.
And do you know how many are euthanized per year?
I think it's 4 to 6.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's a good
thing. 46 million, excuse me.
Yeah. Okay, so what types of information, I think that leads animal control to the busting of these types of organizations. I think I read in that article that there was a neighbor, I guess, sort of documenting information, and which eventually led to authorities coming in.
That's right. So, yeah, Brandon Hatch, he was a friend. He a childhood friend is what he told me, and he was just visiting, and he saw the conditions, and they were so horrific and so egregious that he had to you know, let the authorities know. It was, you know, it tore apart a friendship that he's had forever, because these animals were suffering so immensely.
Mm, good for
and
him.
He was wonderful. He actually came down to Olympia to testify on behalf of our bill, too.
Mm.
So he's been a great advocate for this, and he's never had an animal welfare background at all. And but it was a turning point in his life where he had to really do something about it.
Hmm. And so if there's not some sort of inside lead to that, I mean, given that we know these, you know, is there any sort of follow through, like undercover, oh, I want a puppy, and then you visit one of these websites that's really kind of showing all of the red flags as a puppy mill, as far as investigation that's not not necessarily sparked by somebody reporting it?
Yeah, we've done investigations, as I mentioned before, on the Petland mills,
mm-hmm.
but that's only one step. You really have to have an agency, law enforcement, that's willing to follow up. And so I really don't know what else to tell your listeners, but it takes a lot to bring these places to justice.
Yeah. Okay, well, we are coming up on our next break. We are with Dan Paul, the Washington State Director of the Humane Society of the United States. If you'd like to give us a call here at the station and ask Dan a question, call 425-373-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk. This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Urban Beast. Fresh, modern, fun. Seattle's destination for all your pet needs. Located in the South Lake Union neighborhood at 217 Yale Avenue North, directly across from the REI flagship store. Urban Beast features unique accessories such as toys, beds, collars, leashes, and more. They have a great assortment of healthy food and yummy treats for the pets you love. Open 7 days a week and offering free parking in the Alley 24 garage. Come see what the beast is all about.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick and Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, 3 to 4 p.m.
The Barking Lounge is Seattle's premier dog daycare and overnight boarding facility. With 24-hour supervision dedicated to the health and well-being of your pooch, it's no wonder why the Barking Lounge was voted best doggy daycare in Western Washington. New customers can mention this ad and receive a free temperament test and day of play care, a $44 value. Offer available for a limited time, valid for new customers only, and has no cash value.
Commune with the Pop Oracle on the Radio 8 Ball Show. I'm Andras Jones, the host of the Radio 8 Ball Show, where we answer your questions by picking songs at random and interpreting them as the answers, like picking musical tarot cards. That's the Radio 8 Ball Show on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Don't miss the Radio 8 Ball Show, Fridays at noon, right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
No shirt, no shoes, no problem. Come as you are. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hi, welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes, and we are talking with Dan Paul, Washington State Director of the Humane Society of the United States. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Julie.
So we've been talking about puppy mill, the local situation, as well as the national situation. I've just been really getting some great information to shed some light on this. And something that I've heard you say a few times, Dan, is the moral of the story is to not buy a dog from a pet store.
Yeah, that's at least a good rule of thumb.
Do not buy a dog from a pet store, and if you buy a dog from somebody online, let's say, for instance, to make sure that you are able to actually physically yourself visit the site where the dogs are kept, and ideally, I know it's not always possible, even with great breeders, to meet the father, but to at least meet the mother of the litters.
That would be ideal, absolutely.
Yeah. And that's a good rule of thumb anyway, for, you know, if you're getting a puppy from a breeder, because temperament of the parents is so huge, you know, with behavior, you know, in addition to health issues, you obviously want a physically sound dog, but with overbreeding, temperament actually becomes a huge issue with dogs that get really popular. I know it kind of happened with Cocker Spaniels when Lady and the Tramp came out, mm-hmm. and Dalmatians when 101 Dalmatians came
out.
That's
right. I think Beverly Hills Chihuahua most recently.
Yeah. So, you know, this movie comes out and people get all crazed about a certain breed, and then breeders start breeding them, you know, mass producing these dogs, and the quality of the breed actually starts to go south. So, you know, it's an interesting issue, too, you know, being in the pet profession myself and, you know, obviously very, very passionate about dogs as a species. But just in the interest of the health and integrity of the species of the animal, with these dogs that are being mass-produced in horrible conditions with no accountability and really no regard for, you know, good genes. So, there's, you know, typically, I mean, you don't want to buy a dog from a puppy mill because you don't want to support the industry, but are there some typical health issues that dogs tend to have who come from these types of places? I've heard stories about people who have bought a dog from a pet store and, you know, the dog ended up getting really sick or had some sort of, you know, health condition.
Yeah. So, interestingly enough, last year, in the legislature, we tried to enact a puppy lemon law in our state, which was designed to protect the consumer by ensuring that they can get their money back if the puppy dies or is severely ill soon after the purchase. The law did nothing to actually address the cruelty inside the mill, which is what we've shifted our legislation to, but we did run up through several hurdles in that bill. So, the intent of the bill, though, was to address some of these extreme sicknesses that happen with these puppies. And that's just sort of a given growing up in these, you know, disease-ridden facilities, these very unclean, unsanitary things. They're places where their mothers are given antibiotics to keep them healthy or at least to protect against some diseases. And so already when the puppies are born, they have a compromised immune system. So, yeah, they definitely have health risks associated with these puppies growing up in the mills.
And what are the, I imagine there's a range, I know, in this process, but what are the consequences, for instance, for the people who, you know, the owners of the mills that were recently busted here locally? What are the consequences?
Well, from what I understand with the most recent case, and again, I know no more than really what the media has told me, is that they are up for 4 counts of animal cruelty. So they will actually be going to a criminal trial, and they could have some very severe penalties to them. But typically, it all depends on how involved the prosecution, the county, wants to go after these owners.
So if they, let's say they were charged with these counts of animal cruelty, does that mean prison? Does that mean a fine? How long?
It could. It can either be a misdemeanor or a felony. And I believe in our state, both of those carry jail time and a fine attached to it. There's another bill that's being introduced in Olympia this year, which would actually ban felons of animal cruelty from ever owning a similar animal type again. So that would be a great companion bill to go along with our puppy mill bill to really hit hard on this issue in our state.
Yeah, well, that would make sense, so they don't just go back out and start another one.
Right, exactly right.
And do you know where are those dogs now who were rescued from that mill?
Yeah, so what I understand, those dogs are at the Everett Animal Shelter. I don't know too much more about that, about, you know, their situation other than that, but they are part of this ongoing criminal investigation. So I think right now they're being held as evidence. After that, they may be up for adoption at that point. Actually, I would encourage the listeners to call Everett Animal Shelter and see exactly what's going to happen with them.
Mm-hmm. So I have some information for listeners on how to get in touch with those local establishments or organizations. The Humane Society of Skagit Valley is one of them listed here in the article, which is www.skagithumane.com. There's a organization called Saving Pets One at a Time, which is www.savingpetsoneatatime.org. And the Everett Animal Services Shelter, which is www.everettwa.org. And then, as you mentioned, there's a lot of information through the Humane Society of the United States to find out more about how you can help. I know that they're looking for donations of food and blankets and pee pads and money for medical care for these animals that they're trying to get well. And I've had some experience working with some puppy mill rescue dogs with training and behavior, and I know that a lot of these dogs have never, walked on grass or stuff like that, or have never don't know how to play because they have never had access to toys. So there's a behavioral big hurdles after they get the dogs physically well too. So, I'm sure that they're looking for foster homes for these puppies as well. I think Ginger's Pet Rescue is a local organization that's taken in a lot of dogs from puppy mills too. So, wow. Well, thank you so much, Dan, for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's just a matter of education for people, and again, just to emphasize that this industry exists just because there is a demand for it. So they're supplying the demand. So what we need to do as consumers is to not support that demand and not buy dogs from pet stores at all, and to also be really, really, really careful about the source if you're going through an online route. I found breed groups to be a good resource. I've had some future clients asking me to help them actually find a dog, and it seems like breed clubs are probably pretty diligent about which breeders they recommend. Do you think that's true?
Yeah, I think it's a great suggestion.
Yeah.
Also, your listeners can go to humanesociety.org/puppy, and it's got our puppy buyer's guide, and I think that there's links to breeders as well, that, or at least breed rescue groups.
Mm-hmm. And then there's a breed, Seattle Pure Breed Rescue. I think there's probably groups for most breeds out there. That's a great resource if you're looking for a specific breed but would like to rescue a dog and to go that route as well. So, and then again, to emphasize too, if you are going to buy a puppy, to get there physically and check out the facility, that it's clean, that the dogs have a place to go to the bathroom that's separate from where they play and eat, and that the dogs seem well cared for, and that the dogs are nice is good too, because so much of that is temperament. Well, hey, Dan, I look forward to having you back on the show to talk about other things that you're up to in addition to the puppy mill issue.
Great. I appreciate that.
And thanks so much for being on the show, and enjoy this sunny afternoon.
Okay. So are we going to have calls or?
Doesn't look like anyone called in for you today.
Okay, great.
So but we'll look forward to having you back soon.
Okay. Thank you so much, Julie.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
Good day.
Bye. All right. Well, that was Dan Paul, the Washington State Director of the Humane Society of the United States, talking about puppy mills and how what we can do to not support that industry. And this is, we're coming up to the end of the first show here. This is the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150. And we'll look forward to seeing you next week, Wednesdays at 2 p.m., and you can listen online as well at www.1150kknw.com. the show is streaming live in addition to being broadcasted on air. So my name is Julie Forbes, and we'll look forward to being with you next week for the Dog Talk Show. Enjoy this sunny afternoon and go out and do something fun with your dog.